Have you ever been in a situation where you have felt overwhelmed? Interesting, the song we just sang. But have you ever been there, been where you felt overwhelmed? But in the midst of it all, in the midst, someone comes along and says, I'm there for you. Let me help you. Let me help you through this challenge. Now, they might help us financially. They might help us by driving us to appointments or whatever we need that way. Or they might help us with physical work. Maybe they'll come and do housework, or maybe they come and do some yard work. Or they might just come and sit and spend time with us. And that helps us through that overwhelming situation. However they help, we're so appreciated. We appreciate it. We're so thankful when people come and are willing to help. But unfortunately, people are people, and there are times that someone offers to come and help, and they don't show up. For one reason or another, they don't seem to follow through. But this isn't the case with Jesus. He always follows through. And as Jesus continues to share about life in the kingdom through the Sermon on the Mount, we find him offering us help. Listen to the words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, for he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Wow. If you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be opened. What more help could you be looking for? You see, Jesus knows, as we are listening to his message on the Sermon on the Mount, that we might be just a little overwhelmed with the standard, with where he's placed the bar as Christians. How are we ever going to make it there? And he says, ask, seek, and knock. Jesus offers us the help. And you know, being the Son of God, that helps there. When he offers, it's there. It's not like, oh, Scott, I just couldn't make it today. I'm sorry. I'll be there next Sunday, though. You'll be good next Sunday. No, when we ask for help from Jesus, we are guaranteed. He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened. You know, it is possible to take what Jesus is saying here the wrong way, though. I mean, I could think that Jesus is saying, well, if I ask, I get it. So if I ask for a brand new car, shaking her head, nope. But if I ask for a brand new car, he says, if you ask, you receive. So I should get a brand new car. I could take it that way. If I ask to win the lottery, and not that I'm saying anybody should buy lottery tickets here, but if I ask to win the $55 million Lotto Max jackpot, well, I should win it, right? He says, ask, and you receive. Or if I ask to be a great worship leader like Marilyn or Mel, or I would become a great singer and worship leader. Right? Now there would be a great miracle. there would be a great miracle. But see, you hear what I'm saying. The list of asking would be endless. There would be a line before Jesus. Everybody would be asking for everything. Jesus is not saying, just ask for anything and everything, and he will give us it. And we need to be thankful that Jesus will not just give us anything or everything we ask him for. Because sometimes what we ask for might not be really good for us. Might not be in his plan and the best thing for our lives. Yet, when we don't get something and we ask for it, we're a little disappointed. Maybe even a little discouraged. Maybe a lot. Let me share a story that Kathy read this week from Charles Stanley. So Charles Stanley's a pastor, and they were moving, they were taking a new position, like a position in a new church. So they were moving, they were in the town they were moving to, and they needed a house. So they went house hunting. They drove around from house to house that were for sale, and they found one that they thought that would be the perfect house. And they'd been praying, and they'd been believing. So they put an offer on the house, and the offer was accepted. They were excited. They went to the bank for the mortgage. And as far as they were concerned, it was a done deal. I mean, their finances were in good shape and everything. And they were praying that God would supply the mortgage because this was the house for them. And in fact, they were believing so much, they were already thanking God for the answer to prayer that he would supply the mortgage. Well, the mortgage was denied. The mortgage was denied. And to this day, I went and read the story for myself so I could grasp it, but to this day, Charles Stanley does not understand why that mortgage was denied. And they were disappointed and they were discouraged because that was the house they thought was the best house for them. So the house, the mortgage was denied. The very next day was a huge rainstorm, and the basement in the house that they thought was the best house was flooded. There was a drainage problem. See, God knows. Sometimes we don't get what we need or want. And he knows what's best. Our Heavenly Father knows what is best for us and is not going to grant our every request we ask for. One day while living in Kimberley, I was working on my computer and I looked up out the back window and there was this beautiful cinnamon bear in our backyard. Not black, not polar bear, cinnamon. He was beautiful. And he was just huge. Like he just looked like a big ball of fur. And he was just lumbering through the backyard. Nowhere, no place really to go. If my children had come to me and saw the bear and said, "Dad, can we go out and cuddle with that bear? I mean, he was cute," and I think it was a he. "He was cute and cuddly and looked just incredible walking through that backyard. He didn't look like he would harm a flea. But do you think I would grant my children that request? No, because as cute and cuddly as he looked and as, you know, harmless as he looked, I knew he was a wild bear. And with one swipe of his paw, he would tear my children apart. I could foresee the danger that maybe they couldn't foresee when they were that young. In the same way, our Heavenly Father will never say yes to all our requests. He foresees the danger. He foresees the things that aren't best for us. I have a friend who is a paraplegic, got hit by a train. I think I might have shared with you before about him. Anyhow, we've talked a number of times about why God doesn't heal him. I mean, he has strong faith, comes from a family of faith. His father-in-law was a mighty pastor. He was my Elijah. So why aren't you healed? And we talked. And you know, the truth of the story is, he knows. If he was healed, he might not be walking as close to God as he is sitting in that wheelchair. Because he's a sports guy. Before he got hit by the train, he played basketball, he played baseball, he did it all. And if he wasn't in his wheelchair, he might be doing other things on Sunday rather than worshiping God. I'm not saying that God's mean and nasty, but God sees our heart, and he knows the perfect plan for our lives, what we need. There is no way Jesus means here that he will grant all our requests. On the other hand, he does say, ask, seek, and knock. He doesn't say, do it sometimes. He says, ask, seek, and knock. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Oh, so again, we have another scripture that's saying, if we ask, whatever we ask, we will have. But there's a little bit of a qualification here. Whatever we ask in his will. The key here is that Jesus will grant us everything we ask that lines up with his will, his perfect and good plan he has for our lives. He will not just grant us things that will contradict his will or contradict his character. He's not going to grant us things that go against his will and character. Now let me just do this. This is in my notes, and I didn't know whether I was going to go here, but let me just do this for a side. He doesn't grant us things that go against his character, but he will, if we persist, he will let us go our own way. And he will turn us over and allow us to wallow in our sins. So I just put that out there. That you say, well, hold on. So sometimes we struggle with what God's will is for us. And the basic start and the best place to start to find God's will for us is just to read the Bible. Because the Bible, we find that God's will for most things is there. His will for being single, for being in relationships, for marriage, for character, for alcohol, for finances, for sexuality, and the list goes on and on. You just start reading the Bible and you go, oh, this is what God expects. I mean, we've seen it a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we can't find his will for something in the Bible, we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. If something doesn't quite feel right, then chances are it's not God's will. I own a 1994 Ford Ranger pickup truck. I drove to Kamloops one day, saw the truck on the buy and sell thing, drove to Kamloops to look at it, took it for a test drive. Man, it looked nice. There was something inside me that was just like, I don't know if you really need a truck right now. Maybe you should wait. I should have listened. The truck is not the greatest truck in the world. And now I live with the consequences of that. Anybody want to buy a truck? But I live with those consequences. But the Holy Spirit, God was there to share what his will, his best plan for my life was. And if we still are struggling, we should maybe go and talk to some solid Christian friends and ask them to pray with us. And the Holy Spirit will assure us. We are assured God will grant us his will for us when we ask for it. The key is we must want what God wants for us more than what we want for ourselves. That's a key. That's what happened with the truck. I wanted the truck more for me than what God wanted for me. I'm looking now, I think I need a bigger truck and a better truck. The reason because we want to tow a trailer, but you know, if I just listened to God, things would have been better. We need to trust and accept God's answer for us. We need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock, but we need to trust his answer. Jesus started our text, the text we're using this morning, was saying we need to ask. And ask indicates coming to God in humility and a consciousness of our need. We have a need. We don't just come to ask God or ask anyone anything unless we have a need to ask. We come and ask as we would come to our own Father, our earthly Father. Let's take a moment and just look at what asking really is. Because to ask is to request something from someone. It's asking a favor of them. If I asked you to take the offering on a Sunday morning, like I asked Gordon this morning, I'm asking a favor of him. I'm asking, would you mind taking the offering this morning? If I ask somebody to be on the worship team, I'm asking a favor. Would you mind? I could ask my daughter, would you mind playing the piano? Or Dave, would you mind coming last Friday and helping out? And he says, no problem. But I'm asking a favor. If I ask someone for $20, I'm asking a favor. Will you lend me $20? Yeah. See? So here, let me go a little further. We need, when we ask, we need to believe what we're asking for, that the person will, usually we're believing that the person will grant. If I ask Marilyn if she'll do worship on a certain Sunday morning, I'm believing that she will probably say yes. I was believing that Dave would probably say yes for Friday morning or for Friday afternoon. I'm believing that. But if I went downtown at Cache Creek here on the main street there and I walked up to somebody who I didn't have any clue who it was, never met them, they'd never seen me before. And I said, you know, I've got this real need and I need $50. Would you lend me $50? I'll pay it back. You know, I don't think in my heart of hearts, I would even start to believe that that person is going to lend me the $50. I don't have that kind of faith to believe that. On the other hand, if my dad was still alive and I went to my father and said, you know, Dad, look, I need $50 and this is why, I would go with confidence, knowing my dad would say, sure, here, here's $50. And that's my earthly father. And the Bible tells us, says that God is our heavenly father. If our earthly father is like that, what's our heavenly father like? Well, listen to what Jesus says in verses 9 to 11 in Matthew chapter 7. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? If I believe that my earthly father will give me $50, how much more can I believe that my heavenly father will supply what I need? I can come to him. If I have a need, I can come to him and ask for a favor, and I can believe that he's going to do it. I just need to come to him in faith. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Oh, did you get pray, ask for anything? You receive it. First, it needs to be the will of God, and we need to have the faith to believe that God will give us what he has for us. Now, we must not confuse faith with self-confidence. Faith is not an emotion or a feeling. It's not gambling blind and leaving our life at the hands of uncertainty. Faith is a conviction that the invisible God will provide us for what we hope for. Even though we can't see it, he will provide it if we come and ask, and it's his will, he will provide it. Those folks that came on Friday night for our prayer meeting, they came with faith, believing that God would provide what we asked for. So, to ask is to come to Jesus in faith, simply, humbly asking for a favor that lines up with his will. Jesus goes on to say that we need to not just ask, we need to seek. To seek something is taking asking to the next level, is taking our prayer level to the next level. It is putting action to our requests, to our asking. James 2:26 declares, as the body is without spirit, as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. In other words, we can ask with faith for a certain job. Maybe we need a job. We can ask for a job. But if we don't go and put resumes out, if we don't go knocking on doors, if we don't go seeking after a job, chances are we're not going to find it. Faith isn't just something we talk about. It's something we do. Faith is only activated when we act. That's how our faith works. I mean, if I have faith that this pew is going to hold me when I stand on it, the faith is only good when I stand on it. We need to ask and then seek. We must put actions to our prayers. Charles Stanley prayed for a house that they could live in, and they went looking for houses. They didn't pray and go, well, I hope somebody will come and just walk by our car and say, hey, now don't get me wrong, God can do that. He can send somebody to do that, but chances are he wants us to look at houses. He prayed and went and applied for a mortgage. I haven't heard of any banks that have come and said, here, we want to give you this much money for any house you want to buy, without going and talking with them. I don't have an account with the bank, but they're going to come. Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it? Martin Luther said it this way: pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you. Did you catch that? Pray as if everything depends on God for everything to work out, and then work at it as if everything depends on you. So Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Knocking is upping the prayer again. Knocking has the sense of intercession and perseverance. See, we read in 1 Samuel and in the 12th chapter how the Israelites had been doing evil, and they'd walked away from God, and they'd come to Samuel and they asked him to pray for them. And listen to Samuel's response. You know, he's just the priest, and you would think, well, you guys are evil and wicked. You want me to pray for you? Pray for yourselves. But listen to what Samuel says. 1 Samuel chapter 12, 23, the first half of the verse says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Wow. Far be it for me to sin by not praying for you. See, we are to intercede for others. We are to be knocking on heaven's door for other people. And in fact, if we don't, we're sinning. Jesus continually prayed for people. And we can read one account in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. And he's talking about Peter here. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed for Peter because he knew he was up against the wall and Satan wanted to work hard on him. Interceding for others is something we as kingdom people are called to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, and it's verse 18, but it exhorts us to pray for 80% of the saints. 99.9. No, it says pray for all the saints. Pray for all the Christians. Pray for all those people. Yet, it is not just a checklist. Oh yeah, I prayed for Joe, prayed for Charlie, I'm good. I'm good. I prayed for all these people. I'm good. I don't have to pray for them again. No, we are called to knock for them and continually knock on heaven's door for them. We must knock on heaven's door, bringing their needs to the Father every time they come to our mind. Do you ever wonder why God just brings somebody to your mind? Chances are they have a need, and God wants you to either reach out and talk to them or pray for them. If we are not so sure about praying for others, then we just need to listen to what Jesus' words at the end of this section on prayer are. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, and this is how he wraps this section on prayer up. He says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." We all know that. It's called the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many want people to pray for you? I do. I would think every one of us would want people to be praying for us. We need it. And if we want people to be praying for us, then isn't it just natural that we should be praying for them, do unto others as we want them to do for us? So if we want them to pray for us, then we need to pray for them. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, maybe you don't want other people to pray for you, but you pray for yourself? Then we need to pray for our neighbor. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Living life in the kingdom of God means we are to be people of prayer. People who ask, people who seek, people who knock for ourselves and for others. Let me conclude with going back to the verses we started with. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus said, "He is here to help us. All we need to do is to ask, seek, and find. If we ask, he will give us our needs. If we seek, we will find what we need. If we knock, the door will be opened. Heaven's doors, heaven's gates will be opened." Life in the kingdom of God requires us to pray, requires us to ask, seek, and knock.